Welcome to season 5 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Mindfulness Pilates teacher of over 25 years and author. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain to feel good, as well as working through stress to calm, with relaxation, positive affirmations and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind. Feel stronger, happy and calm. Okay, so big welcome to today's podcast. Today's podcast, I have a special guest and I'm going to tell you what we're going to be talking about today. Well, a little bit about it. It's about struggling to fit things in and knowing you need to make a change and serendipity. I hope I said that word right. So a big welcome to you, Helen. Helen Clark is my special guest today. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
You are so welcome. Thank you for asking me.
That's all right. So I'm going to say a little bit about your work, but then I just love the whole personal bio thing as well, but I'll let you share that in a minute. So you're marketing director at Bright Red Digital, and you're also WIBN. So everyone says it differently, but Women in Business Network, Business Networking franchisee as well. So that's a lot that you do. And I know your work very well. It's amazing. And tell us a bit more about you as well personally and your motto of life.
So I am married. I've got two children. One is 8 and one's 13. I have been self-employed pretty much since I graduated from university, so longer than I would like to admit, so over 20 years. So I've always worked for myself, which I absolutely love. I originally did fashion design at university, and I used to have my own clothing label and a couple of shops. I've also run a music venue, and I've had quite a sort of diverse path to where I am now. I actually got into working in marketing sort of by chance, really. I'd had quite a bad car accident. Let me think what year. It would have been 2010, which left me with some nerve damage. And that meant that I couldn't sew and I couldn't do the sort of shop management side of it anymore. So I had a bit of a career break when I had my children. And then someone sort of asked me to come and work within the firm that I'm in now. In marketing, I retrained, did my CIM and all of that good stuff. And that's led me into marketing. But I think what I hadn't realised was that I've always done marketing. I think as a small business owner, you do a lot of marketing. I used to run a zine, I've put events on. And even though I didn't know that I was doing marketing, I think I've done that in quite a lot of my different roles. But obviously the formal training sort of cemented that. So I've been working with Bright Red now for the past nearly 7 years. Myself and my husband own the business now. We are both directors. I love being self-employed because it means that there's a bit of a sort of mesh between my home life and my work life. As a bit of a self-confessed, and I hate this term, workaholic, I am. I think a lot of business owners are. It's very difficult to turn off. So it's really important that you actually love what you do. And my work journey introduced me to the Women in Business Network. And I love it. I absolutely adore it. I loved it from the minute that I walked into my first meeting. The people that I met at that first meeting, I'm still in touch with the majority of them. And along that road, I have worked with the brand from a marketing point of view. I'm currently the marketing manager for the UK. So I support all the franchisees and members and HQ. And then it was suggested to me that I might want to open some groups of my own in my local area. So I decided to do that in January of 2023. So I opened one in my local town where I live, of Pemberton, which is just outside Preston in the northwest. And I'm just about to open my 6th group in Lancaster next month. Mm-hmm. So that's grown really nicely, and it's fabulous. My absolute favourite thing to do is meet people, meet new people. And my motto in life is that every new person you meet knows something you don't. And I just think that meeting new people is just the best way that you can learn new things and really develop yourself as a person. So yeah, alongside my sort of my networking business in Bright Red, I meet a lot of new people as well. We work with a really diverse client base, all doing amazing, brilliant things. And I learn so much from them as well. So yeah, I'm busy, but happy.
Oh, that's amazing. That's, yeah, what an interesting background. It's just it's just fantastic. And obviously we met at Women in Business as well, networking, and yeah, it is really fantastic. My sister, I think Julie, she's been a member 15 years now, and I think I'm about year four now, I think, something yes. like that. So it's very good. So how did you get into the Pilates? What, why on earth did you turn up to give it a go?
Okay, so as that has just been a very long and rambling story, this is a bit of a long and rambling story.
Here we go.
So I was always quite active. I have had previous roles in like window dressing. So I was one of those people up ladders, like hanging from the ceiling, hanging displays and things like that, working in my fashion role as well. That's quite active. And like I said, I had quite a bad car accident not long before I got married, actually. Someone crashed into my driver's door. And I was holding the gear stick and had my foot on the clutch at the time. And it basically sent a shock up my left-hand side and damaged all of the nerves in my left side and my disc, my lower disc and my neck. I'd previously had a whiplash injury there as well. So from that point onwards, I did start to really struggle with my back. Fast forward, I had then had quite a traumatic birth with my first son, which affected me quite a lot physically and mentally. So I felt a little bit like I have had a bit of a journey with my physical health. And I was also then diagnosed with fibromyalgia not long after the crash, which was actually caused by the crash. It's something that not a lot of people know. Most autoimmune issues are either caused post-trauma or post-viral. Mine was post-trauma. It's been a bit of a tough sort of journey. And I've done bits and bobs of exercise over the years, but I really find that I struggle to fit classes in where I'm going out of the house. I've got two reasonably young children that are both neurodiverse, got two businesses, and I also felt a little bit, and I don't know if other people feel like this, but as someone who had sort of, my physical health had sort of declined, I was a bit put off going to something like a Zumba class, or, you know, going to somewhere with other people where I perhaps wrongly might feel a little bit embarrassed about my sort of abilities within that class. And that really put me off, if I'm being honest. And going to the gym, the same thing, that really put me off. And I was really looking for something for me as well, like a way of carving out a little bit of time just for me to help with my mental health. And I came across you, it was a bit of serendipity via WIBN, but I also know a couple of other people that do your classes that spoke very highly of you. And for me, the Pilates classes, they are really tailored for me and my abilities. Don't get me wrong, it has pushed me, but in a really safe and good way. I feel like I've really improved, but I've not felt like I've been pushed too far, or like I'm worried about it. But it's also really ticked the mental health card for me as well. And not just when I'm in the class, but I use so many of the techniques that I've learned at different points in my life. I use them all the time when I'm at work, help with sleep, that kind of thing. So it was a bit of a chance, really. And it's something I've been thinking about for a while, but it just seemed to come around at just the right time, and I met just the right person.
Hooray, hooray. Yeah, thank you for sharing all of that, because like me as well, that sort of was a big spark for me, was you certainly don't choose to have a road traffic accident or anything like that and all of that trauma, but sometimes at least you can find something, you know, obviously you get the medical help at the time and things, but afterwards you've got to do your best to sort yourself out or improve matters if you can. And I think we both sort of headed down that sort of, Pilates has, you know, has helped. Because like when you first started, we just had to take it so slow and gentle, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't move like you move so much better now, and you can do so many more movements now. But at the very beginning, it was very basic and very gentle. And so I have that sort of back program that I teach, particularly after discs.
Yeah.
But now you're heading into a much better place now. So where do you feel like in your body and your back you've gone from and to?
I think definitely I've got more freedom of movement, which is really nice. I'm a lot less stiff, especially in my sort of lower back and hip area. I think because of the nerve damage, and I forgot a lot of the little thing that was thrown in there. The biggest issue I had after my car crash was that I had something called foot drop, which the doctor took great delight in telling me that usually only pensioners have. So that was nice. But it basically means, and for anyone watching, I'm going to do the little movement. It means that as you're walking along, normally your foot sort of sits like this naturally, but mine dropped. So I have to, and I had a lot of physio to fix it, but I have to physically think about keeping my foot like that. Otherwise it just does this, and that makes me trip over a lot. But I think because of walking slightly differently because of that, that's had a bit of an impact on like my hips and my lower back as well. I think I've got a slightly different gait to maybe what I used to have. And then that used to result in a lot of stiffness. And I'd find myself waking up in the night with like lower back and hip pain a lot. And I'd have to move sort of every couple of hours. I'd find myself waking up in pain. And similarly, in my neck, there was quite a lot of restricted movement and quite a lot of pain. Because of the restricted movement, you sort of hold yourself in a way that you shouldn't naturally, and then that results in pain and stiffness. So that's sort of what I brought to the table for you, Beth, wasn't it? And, but now my movement's a lot better. I'm waking up a lot less in pain. And I feel I just hold myself better. I'm more mindful of my movement, and the regular exercises have definitely just, it's night and day basically between, you know, when I started to where I am now. And I've got so much further to go, but, you know, in the relatively short space of time that we've been working together, I just feel like my pain especially has probably had the, you know, the biggest impact.
Yeah. And your back, at the beginning, we worked obviously basic stretches and mega gentle back stretches. And then we straight away added in obviously your core stability is getting stronger, you know, each week and month. And then your back has just went suddenly from strength to strength. You could just start to do a lot more back strengthening. And me as a teacher, I knew I could teach you more strength and, you know, start to add more strength in again. And do you feel that confidence that you do have some back strength going on there?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that's also a worry. I think when you've had an injury and you are so aware of the fact that it can just flare up at any time, and you do something just slightly wrong and you've pulled it, you know, I fall less now. And I think that's probably down to the strength work that we've done as well. I think before working together, and like I said, part of it was like I knew my physical abilities weren't great, which is why I didn't want to go to a traditional class or the gym, but also I was worried about hurting myself. Whereas I'm not, like, I feel like I'm in really safe hands, and I feel like the strength that I'm building allows me to do more as well.
Yeah. It's so important to feel safe. And, you know, like with you, and like I had a brand new client today, very, very similar, has been to physio as well. But it's knowing that you're safe, and like, yes, they made it through their first lesson and it was safe, and it was okay, and they did feel okay or better at the end. And it, you know, it's the same with you. Now with the breathing, you use that quite a bit now, and you've got a favorite one which we're going to incorporate into today's podcast episode for you. So one of your favorites is the triangle breathing, where you breathe in for four, hold your breath for up to four, and out for four, relax. So how do you find that one, and when do you use it?
So part of my issue is that I struggle to switch off. So I can go from when it comes to actually going to sleep, I find it very, very difficult to switch my brain off. So I use the circle breathing for a number of different things. But one of the main things I use it for is actually trying to fall asleep, or achieving falling asleep now, because I find that the doing the circle breathing, because you're counting, I'm filling my mind with thoughts of the breathing, actually physically talking myself into relaxing, and also the physical thing of counting actually makes me switch my brain off from other things. So I use it then. I also use it quite a lot if I'm at work. If I need just a few minutes, I might go into the kitchen and just have a few minutes to myself to do some circle breathing, to just reset myself, especially if I've had a bit of a stressful sort of morning, rushing around. I guess I know a lot of us deal with stress. My stress doesn't come from having a job I don't like, or stressful conversations with clients, or anything like that. I love my clients. These things are very few and far between. What I struggle with sometimes is overwhelm. So it's the physical amount of things that I've got to do, and the amount of things I've got to fit in, that I'll quite often feel quite overwhelmed. And I just need to just go and take myself out and just do some breathing, to almost like reset myself. Take myself out of the situation, reset, and then I feel like I can carry on. And I also, the third sort of way that I use it is to, if I'm in pain as well, because I find that doing the circle breathing or any kind of deep breathing really, really helps me to sort of manage any pain that I'm in. It's the same sort of thing, really. It's like a bit of a grounding technique that I use to sort of try and breathe my way through it, so that I'm not tensing up even more, because then that tends to exacerbate any pain that I'm in. If I start tensing up and getting stressed, then that actually makes it worse. So the breathing really helps with that as well.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And obviously you're using it in different, you know, so for you listening right now, like, have you tried it, or try it in today's episode, give it a little go. And there's so many different ways you can use it. As you say, I mean, you take yourself off to the kitchen, or you use it in bed, or but you can do it sitting at your desk. You can do it standing, lying down, cozy in bed, or even on a walk. It can be quite practical as well, and obviously to sleep better. So thanks for sharing about that. I think it's a superpower, though, breathing. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think unless you have taken part in it, and I think that's what it's about. We all know that, you know, obviously we need breathing, but I don't think, unless you've actually carved out a little bit of time to actually try it, I don't think you can understand how good it makes you feel. But it does require you to stop, and I think that's why it's so powerful, because it does make you stop to do it. But also you do need to commit to doing it as well. It's no good just sort of taking a second to just go, oh, I'm just going to do a couple of deep breaths. That's not going to work. You need to actually give yourself that little bit of time to do it, to really sort of feel how well it can work for you.
Yeah, a good minute. I waved farewell to my 19-year-old son, Sammy, at the airport on the weekend. He's off to university. And after I'd said goodbye and he'd gone through to security, I just burst into tears. And, you know, it's one of those moments, like, there's tons of people around you and you're bawling your eyes out. And I, like, put my jumper over my face and I ran to the toilet. And I was bawling my eyes out in the toilets at the airport. Anyway, once I'd finished crying, which obviously it's okay and it's healthy to cry when you have to, I then got myself a nice cappuccino, and then I headed to the station, and I practiced this exact breathing Well, I did start off with the 4-4 breathing in for 4 out for 4 as a little warm up, and then I headed into this triangle breathing. And by the time I was on the train, I started to feel better, a bit better. And then I grabbed the tools, you know, the stress to calm tools, and I did 7 whole minutes on the train. I was even doing power stretching on the train. I don't think everyone was looking at me. And I felt okay. And by the end of it, I felt okay and optimistic and much better in my mental health, rather than, you know, slumping. Because when you cry and get upset, it alters your physical posture and you kind of slump more banana-like, really, because you just can't help it. It's just what happens. Yeah. So that's when I used it recently.
Oh, I bet you weren't the only one crying at the airport.
Probably not. Well, most people actually dropping them off at the place, but yeah, exactly. No, I probably wasn't the only. No, there's a bit crying going on at airports, isn't there? So, but I didn't see anyone else like doing a proper bawling them.
Oh, it's anyway, a big day.
But as you say, it's so helpful, and it's also a choice if you want to stay. You can use it as a resilience builder, but if you are stressed, you can know, is there a choice that you can take it or not take it as well, and use it or not use it.
Yeah.
So every episode we pick a positive affirmation message of the day. So today I picked from Happy and Calm Cards, this one called My Life is Magic. I think of one way my life is magic right now. So what does that mean to you listening right now? Helen, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think I've been thinking about this a little bit more recently, and it's almost about like reframing things. Sometimes when I feel like I'm too busy and I've got so much going on, I do think, well, you know, I've got the choice. I'm making all these choices in my life to do the things that I want to do. And the magic of my life, I guess, is that I feel like I'm at the sort of in control of it. And like I said, I've been self-employed for a long time, and I think there is real sort of magic in that. You know, I can, if I need to go and see school about something for one of my children, I can just go. If I want to take a day off to spend with my family, I just can. And I think, yeah, the magic is that I have a lot of choices. And I love that.
Yeah. That's brilliant. What does it mean to me today? Yeah, I think there is so much magic. I think it's magic the sun shone today. Yes. Actually, a magical moment for me, the most magical moment of the week, was hugging my son at the airport. It was a long, beautiful, loving hug. And he said, I love you. And I said, I love you. And it was just beautiful. And then he looked at me, saw the tears in my eyes. At that point, I didn't bawl at that point. But that was a magical moment for me in the last week, actually.
Yeah.
So, Now, another thing we do in your sort of one-to-one programs, I know you've done classes in the past, but we're doing more one-to-one work again at the moment, is journaling. How do you find that, writing about the affirmation and journaling?
Yeah, it's not something I'd ever done before. And I do quite like reading them back. So I like doing them. I love that you just have to, there's no planning involved. You present me with the card and I literally just write down whatever that has just made me think of. And it literally is just like a bit of a brain emptying. And again, it's been so, that's great for my mental health, because the only other time I write notes is about things that I need to do, either for work or at home. So essentially the only other time that I'm jotting anything down is, you know, a giant to-do list or ideas about a work project. So the journaling is probably the first time in, you know, a couple of decades that I've actually written something down that was entirely just about me and how I'm feeling. So that's been a bit of a revelation as well.
Yeah, good. It's a very powerful thing to have a chance to be able to express how you feel, isn't it, about whatever it is. We obviously go with a positive slant of, you know, using, so like if you wanted to journal with today's affirmation from the podcast, for you listening, you know, you can write the card message down and then write for a minute or more about what that means to you today. But yeah, it is a great, it isn't, you know, there is, you know, it's great for mental health. And there are lots of psychologists and therapists, you know, encouraging people to use it, and lots of research behind the benefits of it now. But it's very powerful. I think if anyone's going through a bad patch, something, I wouldn't say I'm going through a bad patch, but as in I'm going through a big transition, a big life change. I only have one child. So I've decided to up the gratitude journaling to write a whole page every day at the moment of what I'm grateful for. It's quite an interesting process. You're not just writing the same old thing every day, but in case any of you are going through a more challenging patch, you know, it's very supportive. I think the whole, you know, whether you're doing mindfulness Pilates or just the stress to calm tools, it's a very supportive thing. I mean, Helen, for you, you've been through quite a roller coaster year in different ways. I mean, only share obviously what you're comfortable, but part of that has been grief as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a funny year. It's been a year of quite a lot of growth from a business point of view, but it's been very, very challenging from a personal point of view. I'm very lucky to have a very close family. And my granddad, who I was extremely close to, unfortunately got very poorly at Christmas and passed away very, very quickly after a cancer diagnosis. And it's been the impact I don't think I was quite prepared for. And yes, it's been a tough challenge. I guess working for myself has been amazing with that, in that I could take the time off that I needed to grieve. But on the flip side, you know, you never really switch off when you are self-employed. So there has been that sort of element to it as well. But I have to say that my clients and my women members and my lovely friends have been so supportive. And I don't think I would have got through it without the support of the people that I have been very, very lucky to surround myself with, both personally and professionally. But I don't think people talk about the physical impact of grief as much as the, you know, obviously you've got the impact on your mental health and your emotional health. But I felt ill. It made me ill. And I don't think I was quite prepared for that, really. And I think perhaps people don't talk about it as much as they should, about the impact that something like losing someone really close to you can have on you, and how it affects absolutely everything in your life. It touches everything. So yeah, it's been a difficult thing. And also, I sort of briefly touched on this earlier. I did have quite a traumatic birth with my son, which left us both, it sounds very dramatic, but we did both almost lose our lives, and we were very poorly afterwards, him a little bit more than me, but that did leave me with some trauma around health settings. And it's not something that I was necessarily prepared for. With my granddad passing, I spent quite a few weeks with daily trips to the hospital, and that sort of brought all of that back as well. So that's maybe something that I wasn't expecting or thinking that I'd have to deal with as well, is that, you know, trauma from 13 years ago has sort of reared its head back up. And that's been an interesting sort of journey, with having to relook at that as well and make that a bit more of a priority. So yeah, it's been a year.
yeah, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, life is like the waves of the sea. There are good, challenging and sad times of life. And I'm really sorry, obviously, I know I've said to you before, but I will say again, you know, I'm really sorry about your granddad. And how did you find the mindfulness Pilates or the stress to calm tools or the breathing? Because I did see this journey that you went through of grief, but then improvement. How did you find it being supportive to you in that time?
Yeah, again, I feel like the breathing techniques that I've learned, especially in the way that I described it earlier, I feel like it grounds me, whatever sort of situation that I'm in. If I'm finding it very overwhelming for whatever reason, it might be workload or personal issues, I kind of take myself out of things a little bit and do the breathing. And ground myself is the best way that I can sort of describe it. It's almost just like saying, you know, I'm not okay. I need to just have a few minutes to myself. Whereas I wouldn't perhaps have known what to do with that time previously. I wouldn't have known what to do. It would have been like, I'm really overwhelmed and I need to take a step out. But I wouldn't have necessarily known what to actually do while I was doing that. Whereas I feel like concentrating on doing the breathing and some of the gentle exercises that you've showed me as well gives me a bit of a focus of something to do whilst I'm taking that little time out. And I find that really, really helpful.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to go into the breathing exercise now. So this is the triangle breathing that Helen finds really good with overwhelm, stress, grief. But you can use this just to feel happy. You can use this to help reduce your stress levels. So we're going to go into it now. And you can do this sitting, standing, lying down, walking, but maybe not driving. So enjoy. So welcome to the triangle relaxation, breathing and meditation for you today. Enjoy this sitting, standing, lying down, cozy in bed, or even out on a walk. So if you're lying down or sitting, you can close your eyes. Obviously, if you're walking, you can do this with your eyes open. So enjoy. Just breathe in, breathe out, relax. And then when you're ready, you're going to breathe in for a count of four and out for a count of four a few times. In through your nose and out through your mouth, relax. In for four and out for four, relax. And just let your tummy rise and fall like a balloon inflating. And again, just breathing in for a count of four and out for a count of four, relax. Relaxing your head, neck and shoulders, and then relaxing your back, hips and thighs. And again, just breathing in for four and out for four, relax. And then when you're ready, going into the triangle breathing of in for four, hold your breath for up to four, out for four, relax. Well done. And just relaxing your shoulders, happy shoulders. Relaxing your back, hips and thighs, your legs, your feet, your toes, your arms, your hands, your thumbs and fingers. In for four, at your own pace, hold for up to four, and out for four, relax. Feeling more and more calm and stronger and more resilient on each out-breath. Just letting your tummy rise and fall. As you breathe in for four, hold your breath for up to four, out for four, relax. Very calming on your nervous system, body, mind, mental health, improving and resilience. In for four, hold your breath for four, out for four, relax. If you're sitting or standing, make sure you're not like a banana, that you're sitting or standing well, or you're lying comfortably, or walking in a mindful way, enjoying your environment. In for four, hold for four, out for four, relax. Let your breathing slow down. Happy shoulders in your shoulders. You can enjoy this 5 times, 10 times or longer. You choose. Either carry on or slowly coming out of your breathing now, and breathe naturally. Enjoy. So welcome back after the triangle breathing. How are you feeling? So it's a beautiful one that you can just grab hold of whenever you like. I'd just like to say, Helen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. So in relation to overwhelm and struggling to fit things in and needing to make a change and serendipity and anything else, what final parting words of wisdom would you like to say?
I think no matter how overwhelmed you are, no matter how many things you have going on, and people always say to you, you know, you need to make yourself a priority. If you don't work, nobody, nothing works. And that is very true. But I think it can be difficult to do that at times. And not everything will fit that for you. You just need to find the right thing that will fulfill that. You know, for some people like me, you know, someone might say to you, you know, oh, you need to go for a walk every day, but that might not just fit in with your life. I think it's just finding the right thing to fit in with your life that's going to tick all the boxes that you need, that you needed to tick. And there is something out there for you that will help.
Yeah, so true. And it's all very well having your favorite hobbies and passions and sport and exercise or whatever, but you can't go for a walk or go sailing or skiing or, I don't know, swimming every hour of the day when you get, if you happen to get stressed as much as that. It's just not doable. I mean, yeah, obviously it is very good to go for a walk and things, of course, but what else was I going to say at the end? I think that's it today. I would just like to give Helen a big shout out though, because Helen, actually you help with my graphic design, social media, marketing at my end, and that is a great support for me because it means, you know, I have a bit more time to teach or write books or create the next thing. Well, by the way, the next thing, I'm going to have Stress to Calm class. This is not just for the corporate, but for everyone. Woo-hoo! So that's really nice. But yeah, I'd like to give you a big shout out on that. So thank you. And all of your details to get in touch with you will be in the show notes as well, so everyone can find you there and follow you on social media and maybe work with you too. But thanks so much for all your words of wisdom and sharing your story today, Helen. It's much appreciated.
Very welcome. Thank you. It's been great.
Thank you. Lots of love.
And you.
So thank you so much for listening to the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access the free healing meditation to reduce back pain to feel good in the 3-minute morning routine on my website. And you can book your Pilates tailored toolbox, one-to-one program, of course the Mindfulness Pilates classes on Zoom, and also Stress to Calm workshops and programs on my website. Or just get in touch at www.mindfulnesspilates.com.